Well, good morning, Life Church. Glad to see all of you here in the house and glad for everyone that's joining us online. So what an amazing opportunity that you and I have to get behind the vision of the house and to impact our community. And Ken and I's heart is just for all of us to do the part that God lays upon us to do. And when each of us do that part, we will then complete the vision that he has given into our hands, and he will give us even more vision. So we ask that you just really pray about that and see what the Lord would have you, and then let's just move with the action that we have. We are so excited over what is already happening. We've had an amazing summer with Love in Action and the impact into the community, and we want to hit the fall running. Amen? All right, well, we're really glad to continue with our Shape the Future. Creating a culture of honor is where we are this morning. So as we have been beginning to take a look at this Shape the Future Destiny of Life Church, we want to define culture as this: what people believe and how people act in an organization. Culture just means what we believe and how we act. And you know, every organization, every home, every work environment has a culture surrounding it. And sometimes that culture is very healthy, and sometimes that culture is very toxic. And I am sure that you have experienced both sides of that culture in some type of dynamic. And when we have been exposed to those environments, we certainly prefer the culture that has more honor in it than the culture that lacks honor. So in my opinion, when we're in toxic environments, there is a lack of honor that is present. There is the sense of the tearing down and the fighting or the striving or the competing that is in a lack of honor culture that is very hard to allow ourselves to become the best we can be when we're in that type of environment. So we can watch the news today, we can look on Facebook, and we can see that people are at each other's throats constantly. In order for an organization to create a healthy culture that results in impact, there must be certain beliefs and actions that become the norm for that culture. We have to think a certain way, believe a certain way, and act a certain way to change the culture. This month in our Shape the Future series, we have been defining five things or five characteristics for us as a church body in order to shape our future. Number one, last week Ken spoke on we want to be naturally supernatural. This week we want to create a culture of honor as our focus. Then we want to be authentic in relationships. We want to be people of the presence, and we want to be people of excellence. Today, as I am here with you and Ken is on South Campus, we are going to focus on creating a culture of honor. Now, you would think, and I certainly would think as well, that honor would be one thing that believers and that churches have done well. But unfortunately, that is not the case. Honor has to be learned. Honor is not an automatic response to our human nature. What is a natural response in our human nature is self-protection, is self-promotion. It is what comes naturally because of our fallen nature. Sadly, honor is missing in our church environments and in the lives of most believers. And what is happening is it's killing our reputation and it's killing our effectiveness as the body of Christ and as believers. So the desire to show honor to others must become a core value in how we live and how we interact with others as believers. Because you know what? Relationship is the key to the move of God. Several years ago in our community, we woke up one morning to the news that a church down the road had been visited by the police because the deacon board took away the keys of the pastor and locked the pastor out of the church, and of course caused a great ruckus in the community. The PR, the media was called, all of that showing that this church, this one simple church, was in this fight and in this flux. But the problem with with that is the fact that it made it look like to the community that the dishonor was the culture of all churches. We are always being faced within our community of believers, the eyes of the world looking on us. And when we act and when we behave in such ways that brings dishonor, then most of the region around us, communities around us, then begin to believe that that is just who we are, and that is how different are we than the world then. And it's just really sad that most churches deal with such division and such shenanigans and deal with all kinds of things that cause dishonor on the people of God and on the kingdom of God. James 4, 1 through 2 says this, "What is that causes quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it. So you fight and wage war to take it away from them." Often people are looking for power, position, things to go their way, so they are willing to fight instead of just trust the Lord for what He can give to them. So what is at that root of dishonoring one another? What is at the root when we divide ourselves from one another? Is it the insecurities of life? Do we sense that we need to help God manage the world or manage His kingdom? Do we feel that we've got to become God's policeman and monitor everything going on? Or is it our past rejections, our hurts, our traumas? Is it our abandonment issues or the betrayals that you and I have endured or previous woundings that drive me to my responses? You know, at the heart of all of dishonor is a basic unwillingness to die to my flesh in order for me to show honor to others. So I want to begin today by defining for you what a culture of honor looks like, because until we understand what a culture of honor looks like, we really don't know what the actions are that should be behind that. So the goal at Life Church is to create an environment that is healthy, thriving with love, honor, and devotion toward each other. A place where people want to belong, they are attracted to, because in the community there is growth, there is love, there's a safe environment. So what is the biblical culture of honor? A culture of honor is where we put our love for one another into action, preferring one another, seeking to build each other up, both in private and in public, where we are always looking to bless each other and support each other in life and ministry. Philippians 2:3 says this, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others." You know, a culture of honor views everyone, no matter who they are, where they came from, as God's child. A culture of honor sees others as deserving and worthy of respect, having value, and having importance. A culture of honor will speak words of grace and words of encouragement. They will focus on the treasure and the good that is in people and not focus on faults and weaknesses. A culture of honor will call the best out in each other. A culture of honor will empower people rather than control or manipulate them. And a culture of honor will release people rather than restrain and shame them. You know, Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but only what is encouraging, that it may impart grace to the hearer." Honor creates a safe place. Honor creates an environment where people can be themselves and feel at ease. Honor creates a place where we don't have to perform, where we don't have to wear facades, where we can be seen and heard for who we are. The problem today is that many in church environments are not safe. Many people, even within the church community, will even comment on, I can't really share what I'm really going through. I will be made to feel it's all my fault, or I'll be made to feel I'm doing something wrong. The problem there is that we tend to beat each other up with our words and our religious piety. We tend to approach each other saying, I might have a little more of God than you, or I might have more experiences with God than you. And automatically, we cause this sense of you're lower than me or they're higher than me. And we get this religious piety going, and we can never feel that I can just come and be who I am, where I am, in the situations that I am, and feel loved and encouraged and supported. Honor is the decision to give another person a position of high value and worth in our lives, whether they deserve it or not. Even when something in their life has disappointed you, hurt you, wounded you, honor doesn't choose to respond in the same way. Instead, honor chooses to speak words of grace and words of blessing. And you know what? That's not an easy task, is it? We face these types of situations all the time where we are being dishonored. And we have that choice. Do I dishonor back and arm myself with things that are of the flesh, or do I choose to bless? When our flesh rises its ugly head, there is judgment and resentment and anger and exposure, and we have sarcasm and criticism and comparisons, favoritism, jealousy, selfishness, envy, racism, and all of those things are weapons of dishonor and disdain. I want to share with you two small stories of my own life where the Lord began to deal with this in my life, because I don't have it all together. I don't have it all worked out for myself. I'm still in process. And it was early on in our ministry life that we served and went to our first assignment. And we were under some leaders that were a little bit difficult. And I got offended in that environment. And I got hurt and I got wounded. And instead of letting it go and instead of allowing it to drop, I created an atmosphere of contention with the leader. By my body language, by the words I said, how I avoided them, and how we finally left. And it was about probably 10 to 15 years down the road that the Lord dealt with my heart on that matter. As I prepared a teaching on honoring authority and understanding authority in the body of Christ, and I was giving an assignment to my class, and I said, I want you just to open up your heart before the Lord and ask Him if there's anything you need to create right in your life with regards to authority. And as I was just getting those words falling out of my mouth, I heard the Lord say, remember Pastor so-and-so back here? And I thought, oh, yep, I do. And I knew that that was my assignment that week. And so I had to find their phone number. They had retired and moved to another state. And to find that phone number, and I called them. And I was like shaking on the inside. And I was like, oh, God, here we go. And so when they answered, I said, hi, this is Crystal. Do you remember me? And Pastor says, oh, yes, I do. How are you doing? I said, oh, we're all fine. The reason for my call is I'm realizing that when we were together in that environment, I was not the nicest person, and I need to ask forgiveness. And I went on and on and on, and he stopped me as I was going on, and he said, Crystal, it's all okay. How are you and Ken? What's happening in your life? I was blown away by his grace back to me, because he had every right to go, yeah, you were difficult. He had every right, but he did not. He showed grace. When you think after going maybe through a more embarrassing moment like that I would have had, you know, all my ducks in a line. Several years passed, and it was with a family member, because sometimes it's the hardest to honor our family members, because we know all their dirt, don't we? We know everything on them. And so we sometimes keep lists about what they're doing wrong. And oftentimes we show them those lists and go, ah, you need to line up here. Well, this is a family member who was very close to us. And I had some issues over some circumstances. And I just was not happy about it. And I, over a few years, I became just really, this is just not what I want. And not what I want for my family, not what I want for this. And so basically I put it arm's length and lived that way until they passed. And it was a few years after their passing that went out of my head and my mind, that I was in my own devotional time, I was in my own worship time, and I heard the Lord say, you need to set that right with their husband because he's aware of all of that. And you need to apologize and say you're sorry. And so they were staying at our home for some time after that. So I went to the bedroom where he was, and I just knocked on the door and just said, hey, can I talk to you for a moment? I was shaking in my boots again and just having to admit that I didn't honor his wife in the way that I should have and that it was wrong. And he instantly came right in the middle, put his arms around me, said, we love you, and it's okay. Again, honor back to me when I didn't deserve it, when I was the one who had done such wrong. But the reason I tell you that is because I'm still working on it myself. And every time someone fails to act with honor towards us, or when someone holds a differing opinion than us on the same issue, we have a decision to make. I have a choice in the matter. We're either going to arm ourselves with weapons of dishonor and get aggravated and envious and jealous and put them at arm's length, or we're going to give them an undeserved gift of honor. There's no middle ground. There's no middle ground. Ask yourself, what am I communicating through the days of my life, in my family, in my work environment, in the neighborhoods that I live, in the stores that you frequent? What am I communicating when I relate and talk to people? Do others feel value and worth when I speak to them? Or do they feel degraded and put down? We can do this to strangers. Just because we might be upset at the grocery line or the gas line or wherever we are, we can do this to strangers and think, well, that waitress doesn't know what she's doing. We do it all the time. It's a simple decision. Genuine love gives honor. Self-love takes honor. I don't have this working flawlessly in my own life. But I want to keep my heart open to the Lord to say, Father, search me, see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Because my flesh is still all too much alive inside of me. And I do my best to kill it every day, but that thing rises itself up off that altar in the morning. And every day I must think about laying myself down for the interest of others, about laying my agenda down for the purpose of high value with others. Ephesians 6:3 says this, if we honor our father and our mother, it will go well with us and we will live a long life. I believe you can take that to all relationships. When we honor well, it will go well with us. But when we fail to show honor to others, it can be a self-imposed curse upon our life. Because what we seed out with our words is what we reap in our own hearts. What I throw out on the ground of your life and your heart is what grows in the ground of my life. If I sow judgment, I will reap judgment. If I sow disdain and dishonor, I will reap disdain and I will reap dishonor. Why is this so important in our current culture? Because there is so much dishonor in our nation and in our world and in our families, our communities, and our cities and our states. We no longer honor one another. We've lost the honor, even generationally. We've lost the honor with authority. We've lost the honor with our government, in our workplaces, and our bosses. We have lost honor in our culture. The Bible says that we honor God when we show honor and respect those who are in authority, even when we may disagree with them. Facebook is filled with rants by people who are out of control with hatred and disrespect. See, it is possible to disagree agreeably, but the only way that you can begin to do that, to change that, is by listening and dialoguing with those people. Not for the sake of proving your point, not for the sake of proving that you were right and they were wrong, but for valuing them and listening so that you can have some dialogue. But to do that, you have to show some respect and you have to show some honor. When someone has disappointed you and that comes up in a conversation, do your words, your tone, your body language bring honor, or do you draw out a weapon of disdain? Do you try and punish people by exposing their faults? Well, if you're coming at me with that, let me come at you with this. Do your words lead to restoration and redemption, or do your words lead to taking them down a notch or two, or destruction? Am I seeking to make myself look better, look more spiritual, look more put together, or am I trying to make them look wrong and weak? 1 Peter 4, 8 through 9 says, above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. You know, when we discipline our children and we put them in timeout, how many of you have watched your children sit in timeout and you know what they're doing? They're sitting on the outside, but they're standing on the inside. You know what? You and I as adults do that as well. Okay, whatever. We concede, but on the inside, we're like, oh, you just wait. You just wait. But Scripture tells us, Scripture speaks it, above all things, have fervent love for one another. As believers, we are to establish the government of heaven on earth. This government is built on a foundation of honor. Where honor resides, there is life and there is freedom. The absence of honor breeds fear. And where fear is, people begin to control, fighting for position, self-survival. When honor is present, our relationships with one another grows because I'm able to love you and not fear you. I'm able to act like myself and not pretend that I'm trying to solve a solution here or trying to fix you. But when love and honor is present, I can rejoice in your success, regardless of what you have done or when we don't even agree on everything, I can still honor you. When honor is present, I no longer feel fear in what you're becoming or fearing your anointing or your gifting because I may view mine as less. Our society only gives honor to whom they believe honor is due. But 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor all people. All people. We're not called to honor people because they are honorable, but because we choose to be honorable. To honor doesn't mean that I agree with what someone said or with what someone did. Honor means I value them as a person created in the image and likeness of God. And by honoring all people, I bring out the goodness of God that's hidden inside of them. I want you to think about something here. We look at Scripture to guide our life. We look at the stories in the Bible to guide our life. And we look at Jesus Christ to guide our life. Jesus was the most honorable man who ever walked this earth for this reason. The Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit could have thrown humanity away when they sinned in the garden. Could he have not? Said, scrap this one, let's start over again. Because we didn't follow the plan. The humanity at that time failed, sin. But God, instead of throwing us away, what did he see? The image of God in us, because we are made in his likeness. And he chose to honor us by giving himself, dying on the cross, walking in our shoes on earth because of the image in you and me. That's how he honored us. So when we look at, well, do you know what they did? Well, do you know what they said? Well, do you know who they are? Yeah, Jesus knows who all of us are. Jesus knows everything we've done. And he still says, I desire that none would be lost. He still sent his son. His son still walked on this earth. And his son still reached to every single human being that was created. The worst, to quote the best. You and I can do the same. Jesus honored us. Jesus honored the woman at the well who had five husbands. Jesus honored the tax gatherers by just going to the presence and being with them. How is he honoring them? He's showing up in their life with the presence of everything that he has, wanting to draw them to the kingdom of God, wanting to draw them into a relationship with him, because he sees the image of God and how they were created and who they were supposed to be outside of the sin factor of our lives. That's what honor's about. Yet, we have mediated out honor or kindness based on somebody's activity in their life. What they do or what they don't do. Who they are or who they haven't become. That's dishonor. Who are we to judge the heart of a man? Only God can judge the heart of a man. So honor is the culture that Jesus brought to the earth. Honor is his very life being laid down for us, because it was at our interest to be called home, to be called into salvation and out of an eternal damnation into eternal life. So what are the steps for us to developing a culture of honor? Step number one, take ownership. The biggest challenge is for you to look in the mirror and go, I'm guilty. That's why I told on myself. I'm still working on it. I still can catch those things that come up inside of me that wants to judge or react or put down, and I got to grab them and go, no, I'm going to choose honor. It's a choice. It's a decision. We have to stop blaming others in order to justify our own behaviors. I can't control anybody else. I can only control me. And creating a culture of honor begins with me, begins with you. Number two, become accountable. Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of the enemy are deceitful. Are you willing to allow the people around you to tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, you might want to rethink that? I remember a situation happened in our leadership team. And I didn't like the situation. I got offended again. They were a very close friend of mine, and I got offended. And I put them at a distance. You know, we're really quick to just say, ain't gonna mess with you anymore. And my husband saw the whole thing. And one day he come home, and we had a pond in the back of our yard in the community. And so he said, let's go for a walk, which we always did. And so we started walking. He held my hand. He said, I got to talk to you. And I'm like, I know what that means. What did I do? And he said, hey. And he went right into the situation. He knew the situation, of course, and knew all about it. And just started talking. And as he started talking, all those little voices inside of me was like, well, who does he think he is? He doesn't even know what's going on. He doesn't know what she said and what happened here. And I was just like, ugh. And I said, I got a hold of myself in my head, and I said, self, just listen. He loves you. Just listen. Don't defend. Don't try to create more faults on the other side. Just listen. And as we walked and I chose to listen, I could feel myself go, he's right, he's right, he's right. And by the end of that walk, I said, you're right. You're absolutely right. I'm wrong. I'm wrong. And my heart is just really, really churning. We got to be willing to allow people to say, hey, take a look at what's happening here. See, honor is not about not saying hard things. Honor is about wanting to share something hard because we love you and we want you to get better beyond that. Because Jesus shared a lot of hard things. Jesus had a lot of hard talks and a lot of hard conversations, but he did it with honor and love. And we too. But we've got to open ourselves up to allow people to speak into that and into our life. Step three is focus on the good in people. What your eyes focus on, you make room for and you empower. If you're looking for faults, mistake, what's wrong, if you have a judgment view of, well, this, then that's all you're ever going to see. But if you're looking for what is good and how God has created someone uniquely and what are their gifts and what are their talents, then that is what you're going to see. What would happen if people began focusing on the good in families, in our communities, in our organizations, in our government, in the world? What would really happen if groups and groups of believers got a hold of this and we could see a shift because we would see the good? We watch the news, and it's one bad report after another bad report after another bad report, and then they throw in a happy dog story at the end. Right? I don't even like to listen to the news anymore. It's depressing because it's everything that's wrong in the world. But what could God do? And think about how the atmosphere could change. Step four, put others before yourself, caring for their interests. Philippians 2 says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Stay humble. Think of others as better than yourself. Don't look out for your own interests, but look out for the interests of others. Simple. Others first. Step five, appreciate and celebrate gifts, talents, strengths, callings, uniqueness of other people. We need to make room for the uniqueness of God in all of our life and how he has created us and gifted us. It's multifaceted. It's not just the 12 gifts listed in Corinthians. It's multifaceted. Honor is the ability to recognize and celebrate what God has done and is doing through our lives. Step six, recognize that all of us are works in progress. None of us have this figured out. None of us are perfect in it. We got to understand that it means that we are able to extend grace and we are able to have mercy to help others when we realize that we are a work in progress. This requires getting to know people's stories by having conversations with them. When we get to know the context and background of people's lives, it's easier to extend the grace. It's easier to go, wow, if I would have grown up in that dynamic, I don't know what choices I would have made. The final question that I want to answer is this: what happens when a culture of honor is embraced? What could happen to Life Church if we embraced a culture of honor in our community and we began to honor each other in ways that we have never honored before? What could happen in the region of Rockford if a culture of honor is seeded into the community? You know, that's what we did in Love in Action. We went to our community and we honored the organizations and the work that was being done, and we honored the people that were being receiving the gifts of those organizations, from food and services. We honored them. We brought the cops and cars and canines to our site, and we honored and served them, not wanting anything. It was honor, a culture of honor. And people are blessed. And people feel safe, and they feel at home, and they feel that people care, and that there's goodness left in the world. Honor is love in action. So what if we could begin honoring children, honoring parents, students, honoring teachers, honoring our community, our governments, our spiritual authorities? What if we could begin valuing everyone for who they are, regardless of race, color, creed, ethnicity, regardless of societal ladders of low income, high income, middle income? What if we could honor just because they carry the image of God? And remember that even a unbeliever yet to be Christ's follower carries the image of God. Don't forget that, because that's what Jesus laid his life down for, was the unbeliever. And you and I were there at one time. And he saw the image that was to be within us from his Father, and that's why he extended. So what could be created? It would be a safe and healthy environment that would allow people to work on their issues free of fear and condemnation. People could feel so loved and appreciated, and that they were belonged, and that they were seen, and that they were heard. A culture of honor would create an environment where people began trusting each other, where the blessing of God would flow and his presence would dwell, where people were motivated to serve and devote themselves to others, even when misunderstanding occurs. Culture of honor would allow people to celebrate each other and not tolerate each other. And a culture of honor would create where there would no longer be competition or the need to protect ourselves or hide ourselves. Because what if they really knew my story? What if they really saw me? What would they think? That's not a culture of honor. That's a culture of dishonor. Jesus always allowed the people around him to just pour out their life where they were. And he talked to them. He talked to the woman at the well about the five husbands. He didn't tell her, oh, be quiet about that. I don't want to hear that. No, he talked about it. A culture of honor allows us to bring the concerns and the issues of our heart and our life and lay them before the Lord without shame and before each other. When people are honored, they flourish and are able to operate in their calling and fulfill their dreams and their giftings and become who God has created them to be. The church becomes a powerful impact because of how it honors people inside the church and outside the church. If we begin to honor the unchurched like we began this summer, we can bring them into an experience with Christ, into revelation knowledge with him, so that they can receive eternal life. And this is how the glory of God is displayed throughout the world. When there's a culture of honor in the midst, everyone is elevated. Everyone is made to feel safe. Everyone is made to feel a part. The whole goal in a culture of honor is to allow the glory of God to be in our midst, because his glory is one of honor. That he would allow us to participate in that he would send his son to honor us, to bring us home as sons and daughters of the Most High King. That's a great honor he has bestowed upon our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all that you have done in our lives and in our hearts. I thank you, Father, that you sent your son and you honored us in a way that we didn't deserve any of it. We didn't deserve a second chance. We didn't deserve a redo. But Father, you gave it to us because you loved us and you saw within us the image of yourself. For you created us in your image and you did not throw that image away when you could have. But instead, you sent us your son. And so at this moment, I want to ask a simple question as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Perhaps you've never received that amazing gift of honor from the Father, his Son, Jesus Christ, to walk with you in life, to do life with you, to forgive you of your sins and to bring you into relationship and to bring you to the destiny and calling of the reason that you were created and brought into this life. So I would love to have a time of prayer with you. But in this quiet moment, if that is you, to say, I need the Lord, or I need to rededicate myself, if you would just raise your hand No one's watching, no one's looking, but in this private moment, just so I can see that. And we want to pray a prayer with you and a prayer over you to come into that relationship. Is there anyone this morning? If you would all stand with me. And I want us to say this prayer over those that are here and over those that are online, perhaps wanting to say, I need the Lord in my life. Would you pray this prayer with me? Heavenly Father, I recognize my need of you, that I need a Savior to forgive me of my sin and to do life with me. Because up to this point, my life has been a mess. And I'm believing for you to bring me back to life in you. I ask that you wash me clean and forgive me of my sins. Thank you, Father, for honoring me by giving me your Son, Jesus Christ.